Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And, you know, within that strategy meeting, you know, drag them out to feel comfortable and really try to understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. And I guess the reason, well, the question that Dragon was asking was the why. What is that you want out of it? Why are you looking into property and what are your goals?
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Alex Jeladev, the hard worker with a heart of gold who's setting off on his investment journey. He shares how he got to where he is today, both professionally and in property, and what keeps him so humble and grounded. Plus, he reintroduces us to the tall man who appeared to save him when he needed it most. Jeladev is the first to admit his surname often throws people for a loop, but luckily, he's just the type to roll with it and laugh it off. As a general manager at Cathley Care, his days are varied and busy with a lot going on, which is just the way he likes it. He's dedicated to his rewarding role and recognizes the privileges he has that simply aren't offered to some.
At the moment, we support, you know, quite vulnerable people with disability through our NDIS-funded disability support. So I manage a team of staff that deliver day services and day programs, individualized programs, weekend supports, drop-in home supports. We also provide support independent living services, so full 24-hour all-of-life care for people with disability in a group home setting, support coordination within the NDIS space. And also, from a senior's perspective, we deliver Commonwealth Home Support Programs, so known as CHSP, over the Central Coast and Northern Sydney areas. So that's a bit of a snapshot in terms of what Cathley Care does in that space. So I general manage, you know, within that particular division. Yeah, relatively new. So March of this year, I moved across to Cathley Care. Prior to that, I was working with another disability service provider called Northcott. So I was working there as an acting senior operations manager and service manager as well. So both, you know, in the disability sector.
He was born and raised in Western Sydney, growing up in the suburb of Abbotsbury. His childhood was a time full of outdoorsy adventures, but like any good child, it involved his fair share of computer games as well.
I grew up and went to Fairfield Patrician Brothers High School in Fairfield. Got my secondary education there. And after that, I went to university at Western Sydney University and did a Bachelor of Social Work degree. I've grown up in a family of five kids, grew up in a big family, you know, have really, really lucky to have really loving parents. So they've always gone and, you know, gone above and beyond to make sure that we kids had, you know, an awesome life, you know, awesome start to our life here in Australia. So always a busy household, we're very busy playing a lot of sports. My dad, you know, was very active when he was growing up, so very much involved in rugby league. So I played a lot of football through primary school and through high school, played a lot of representative football for Patrician Brothers College Fairfield as well, played for lower grades in Parramatta Eagles as well. So very, very active, always going to a training session somewhere, always kept busy. I think my dad did it on purpose to keep us out of trouble. So always very busy as kids. We'll either, you know, pop in the boat on the tow ball and going down to the river, going water skiing. So a very, very active family, you know, very outdoors, love getting out on boats, fishing, camping, hiking. So very, very active childhood. We had our LAN parties, don't worry. We used to play a few, bit of COD, bit of this, bit of that. So it was all mixed in there. So very outdoors, but we also like the technology side of things as well.
He played football all the way through high school and planned to continue when he started university. However, a couple of injuries stood in his way.
That then created, a fork in the road, you know, for me, whether I decided to go down the path of sport or go down the path, you know, of a profession. And, you know, that's where I started looking around. And social work, you know, was a really good fit for myself, my upbringing, you know, and my values as well. So that's kind of why I went down the track, you know, of social work.
While many reached a crossroads when they approached the end of high school, Gelative wasn't one of them.
For some reason, look, I never had the desire to go and travel abroad. That never kind of was a major interest for me. For me, what I really wanted to do with the support of my parents was to get a good education. So after high school, I didn't, you know, elect to go and take a, you know, a year break or a year off. So we went down the track of looking at what options kind of suited my personality, what traits and, you know, general care factor really in life. So that kind of guided me to go down the track of giving social work a go. And, you know, after the first couple of semesters, I was hooked.
He gives us an overview of the area of social work he's in and why it appeals to him the way it does.
Social work is pretty much a bridge between, you know, allied health, therapy supports, psychology, and it really takes a higher level view in terms of a person's situation. So it depends what kind of context you're looking at. If you're looking from a health perspective, working within a hospital setting, or you know, a community social work perspective as well. But it really takes, you know, looks at a global view of what's happening for a person, you know, in a particular situation. It doesn't focus on one particular impact or one particular thing happening in a person's life. It looks at the holistic, you know, process of a person's situation. So it might look at if a person maybe discharged at a hospital, for example, it'll look at the whole social aspect of that person's life, look at their support networks, it'll look, and all that ties into all the allied health supports and other professions. So it helps kind of bridge a lot of the gaps that you find in a lot of other sectors.
That's the beauty about social work, is that you can actually look at a holistic point of view. Because I know you can easily just go to like maybe a physio or psychologist and individual services. But the problem is that if it doesn't fit into the overall big picture things, then it can get a little bit skewed.
And it's really a linking role. So you'll find a lot of the time in, you know, whether in a hospital discharge process or, you know, community social work, they're usually the ones that head up those meetings. They're usually the ones that, you know, take charge and take lead, and there's a linking role between the different professions and looks at the person holistically.
When most people say they went a bit silly after high school, it's usually a less than family friendly story involving alcohol. But his university silliness was a very different brand.
I was a bit silly, so I pretty much worked full-time while I was doing full-time university. Look, I loved it. And look, I was working casual and part-time for a disability service as well, where I was working, you know, shift work within the disability sector whilst I was studying at university as well. So it gave me a real life feel and example in terms of what's realistically out there. It just really lit my fire even more working with, you know, people with disability, looking at, you know, really vulnerable communities as well. So it really, really did inspire me on to give it all my all in university. So hindsight, I probably would have gone part-time, take it a little bit easier on myself. but I guess that's all part of the journey. It was a really good real-world test.
He did some placements in hospitals, which gave him a different perspective and ultimately helped him choose the community path he's now on.
I have the utmost respect for social workers in the health field, in hospitals. But I quickly found, you know, that wasn't for me. It was very, I found it very transactional and episodic, where in the field that I'm in now, in disabilities and in seniors, I have that continuity of support and continuity of care, you know, and connection with our families and our customers as well. So, when someone's discharged from hospital, it was really hard to know, or you don't know what the outcome was. There's a lot of unknown. Whereas in this space, working, you know, with a provider that has, you know, supports people with all of life care or more ongoing supports, there's that continuity. And that's where I gravitated towards that model of support versus being in mainstream social work, because I had that daily connection. May not be with every particular client or family every single day, but over a period of time, you maintain those connections, maintain those relationships. You can see progress. You can see when goals are achieved, outcomes are achieved. So it's more rewarding, I find, to have that ongoing continuity and connection rather than, going through hospital. It is a very busy environment. There's a lot of pressures going on. So I find it more rewarding to have that continuity of contact.
He started working in the disability sector as a casual before he did his placement, and essentially just wanted to give it a go.
In a few of my uni courses, uni units, there was discussions around, you know, people with disability, around the upcoming NDIS, movement away from your general block funding model that was, you know, there at the time. And I was intrigued. I was like, okay, interesting. So I wanted to learn more about that. And that's why I jumped in to my first casual role and started working, you know, with that vulnerable community.
Jeladev started working in the disability sector in 2008. His innate talent in the field allowed him to progress quickly in his roles.
In the first role I started in was supporting people with dual diagnosis. So it was working with people with both a physical and psychosocial disability. So you may have someone with a physical disability where they may have been really struggling with their mental health. So, you know, that is a challenge in itself. So I worked in that environment for about 4 years, 5 years. And then after that period, then I started, NDIS wasn't far away, and wanted to know more about the NDIS. So I started to look for other roles, that might allow me to go into, a non-gov role. So initially I was in a government role. Then I moved to an organization called Cerebral Palsy Alliance. They're based on the Northern Beaches. And they were all a fantastic, you know, organization to work for. They had fantastic training, really, really fantastic cause that they were working for. So that gave me an opportunity to look and learn more about physical disability rather than the mental health side of things. So, you know, we supported people predominantly with cerebral palsy. A lot of those customers, you know, were either semi or non-ambulant. So it was a very, very different, you know, cohort, you know, of clients to start to learn, to get to know their needs. So that in itself, gave me a completely different appreciation, you know, to people, you know, with disability. Whereas previously I'd support, you know, clients that are very ambulant. So able to mobilize independently, able to communicate, you know, reasonably well, where, you know, on the other hand, now you're working with a cohort that's quite vulnerable, that's non-ambulant, oftentimes are not, you know, non-verbal. So, you know, that really helped me, you know, with a lot of humility, and really kind of helped me kind of focus on, you know, all the positive things that were happening in my life that I took for granted.
This helped to ground him and solidify his passion and desire to support people with disability.
And also the teams of staff and managers, you know, providing supports. I think it really did help my career in understanding, you know, some of the challenges that staff, you know, do go and, you know, are forced with from day to day in the best of times. Funding, although the NDIS funding has been an amazing, you know, step in the right direction. There's still an ongoing battle, unfortunately, for a lot of clients and families that are still, unfortunately, fighting, you know, to get the right level of funding. So being there and understanding the process, being there for, you know, their plan reviews, the preparation just for a plan review is humongous in terms of, you know, getting all the participants, supportive documentation, you know, OT reports, speech reports, you know, physio reports. There's a lot that goes into, you know, putting together, you know, funding for a participant for a financial year or wherever the plan length may be. So that's where I got a lot of that exposure in preparing those annual plan reviews, you know, for clients and with the families as well. So that was a really big eye-opener into the NDIS. So I definitely, you know, had a great appreciation for people with disability and their families as well. So that really kind of opened me up to the NDIS and, you know, a different mindset for the world of disabilities for the better. So that was kind of my journey into Cerebral Palsy Alliance. That's where I've really got my, you know, opportunities for leadership, which I'm very, very grateful for. Had some really good leaders that are still, you know, at Cerebral Palsy Alliance and still doing fantastic work there. So I can't praise them enough.
Jellydev and his wife Kat always knew they wanted to do something within property. They just weren't sure what would suit them best. However, the end goal has always been crystal clear.
The key word that we're looking for is financial freedom. Yeah, that's what we're really after. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we could continue working in the field that we love, right, and focus all of our attention on the areas that we love rather than paying a mortgage. That's pretty much it. and we saw, you know, getting into property investing as one of the main solutions for us that fit our profile and fit our, you know, exposure to risk. And we felt that is, you know, in our perspective, the safest option, the option where we got real growth, real opportunity, and really to just get back to what we love rather than focusing on all the bills, you know, all the funds coming out, cost of living has gone through the roof. So we wanted to kind of safeguard ourselves. That's kind of how we started to think that way. We've been thinking that way for a couple of years now.
While they've purchased the principal place of residence, they had always been on the sidelines watching friends and family invest. Until now.
In terms of our place of residence, we ended up moving up from the Shire, which my wife would not forgive me for. Kat will giggle after this, but so we're always very close to the water. We're down at Sylvania Water, so I've dragged her all the way up to Gosford, as she would say, and purely for affordability. So we were obviously in a rental situation. We just got married and wanted to make a decision, you know, do we continue renting ourselves or do we go and buy a property? So we both agreed that we'd go and buy our own property. And we started looking around. It probably took us about 6 months. And look, I was definitely a novice in looking for property. I wasn't really aware of what to look out for, you know, but we landed into a property here in Carrion on the Central Coast. Good decision. So we moved up here in 2016, something like that. So more recently, we ended up we wanted more information about investing in property. So we went to a recent property investment expo in Sydney. I think it was the International Convention Centre. I think it was early this year. We walked in there like goldfish. We didn't know what we're looking for. So we'll walk in and to admit, we're so overwhelmed. We're really, really overwhelmed.
Yeah, there's a lot of information out there.
There's a lot of information out there, and I put myself in the shoes of a person with disability. There are other expos that do occur a couple of times a year, both at ICC, in Homebush, in other areas, and I could really try to understand how that felt. I was so overwhelmed with so many exhibitors, so much information, you know, being thrown at you. And I just said to Kat, I said, oh, look, this is just so too much. So we had to pace ourselves and walk through and, yeah, we'll take a brochure here. Yeah, okay, right. Very transactional. And then we came across a very tall character standing in a stall.
He's quite tall, yes.
And we introduced myself, and Dragon introduced himself, and I was like, oh, okay. So we got talking, and you know, Dragon was really we just felt he was really approachable. He had a genuine conversation with us around what we wanted. And you know, that conversation out of the whole day really helped us get a bit of an understanding into property investment, and you know, some reassurance that we're heading in the right direction. Absolutely. So Dragon was at his stall, Buyers Agency Australia. You know, it was very well advertised, so it was very sleek, very clean. I was like, okay, well, this is worth a look. You know, yeah. And then after we got talking, Dragon gave us that assurance, and that got us to the point where, you know, we were happy to go for a follow up strategy meeting with Dragon. And you know, within that strategy meeting, you know, Dragon made us feel comfortable, and really try to understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. And I guess the reason, well, the question that Dragon was asking was the why. What is that you want out of it? Why are you looking into property? And what are your goals? So we're able to have a real candid conversation, and we had, you know, laid out our goals, you know, to Dragon in terms of, you know, that financial freedom, you know, what passive income, you know, would we like to see, you know, over a period of time, and being realistic about things as well. So, you know, Dragon was really, really good, you know, around listening, setting those goals out, and really just clarifying, you know, and listening, reflective listening, like we like to say, to really both understand what our goals are, to really make sure that both parties are really compatible, you know, because not everyone's going to fit with everyone. Everyone's got different personalities, different needs, different goals. And I guess that's something I really do respect, you know, for Dragon is taking the time to go and make that assessment to make sure we both are compatible. And we both meet each other's needs. And, you know, it was really, really clear from the onset in terms of our goals. And from there, we start on the journey. And as Dragon had said, your first property is always going to be your most challenging property. It wasn't wrong. but look, with Dragon's guidance, we're able to be steered in the right direction in terms of being linked up to, you know, really good quality brokers. You know, we have an existing accountant. So from that perspective, that was all good. We've got a trusted accountant. So that makes a world of difference. But from the other side of things, yeah, he did really help link up to really key people that you need to have, one of which is, you know, obviously your broker. From there, we looked at a property which we just settled on recently in southeast Queensland.
When it comes to their goals, the Gelatives see themselves as a little ambitious, whereas others may see them as a young couple with reasonable goals and an achievable dream.
One of our first priorities and goals was to upgrade the family home. So being in Gosford, we love being on the waterside. So one of our goals is to move to a waterfront property. That's one of our ultimate goals. And obviously that's not a cheap affair. So that was one of our primary goals. In terms of the waterfront property that we looked at about between 5 to 7 years. That's the time frame we set for that, thinking, look, it'll be realistic enough to potentially look at that.
Gelatev and his wife quickly came to realise that property is a team sport. After setting their goals and getting comfortable with their new strategy, they agreed together to dip into their equity on their home. And while they hit the jackpot with Dragon Dominski, that's not to say they don't encounter others along the journey to find him.
We did a little bit of research, and we did meet with other providers as well in the same space. One provider we met with, and you know, it was all nice, lovely, and glossy on the website, and all the promotional videos are fantastic. And we wanted to book a strategy session with them. And we booked, I'm not going to say the error because it'll probably give away who it is. But basically we met with a gentleman, and we were there for probably about 2 hours or so, and we just didn't click. We didn't have a good vibe, you know, with him, and we just felt that we had to justify to that person why we were there and why should they pretty much bother, you know, working with us. It just didn't feel balanced. It should be really more an interview for them in terms of why they're the right provider for us. So it was a bit of arrogance, unfortunately. And you know, my wife and I, we like to forward plan. We like to have clarity before walking into anything. And we just had a basic question around fees. We had a basic question of engagement, how that would look like. And we just felt that the conversation that we had with this individual was really salesy. And, you know, we alluded to, hey, you know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of things, can we just understand what's it going to cost us so that we can assess whether, you know, that particular service is worth, you know, investing our money into. And it upset the guy. I just felt that the conversations weren't genuine. And we just didn't feel comfortable. We didn't feel comfortable with the approach. So we had a few of those unfortunate experiences before we come across Dragon.
They felt that these types of conversations didn't have the authenticity they were looking for. They went through the process several times, proving how important due diligence is.
We asked tons of questions, and we're glad that we did. And look, alarm bells and red flags come up where when you ask questions, the person gets more agitated. You're like, oh, okay, what's going on here? And we just didn't feel quite right. So we took our time. We probably took at least, you know, 3 to 6 months to find someone that we're comfortable with. And once we found, bumped into Dragon at the expo, we felt, you know, an instant connection with him and felt really comfortable.
As for his first investment, the strategy behind it focused on capital growth and having long-term prospects over the next 1 to 2 decades.
We had a set budget, obviously only being able to pull equity out of the property. So we gave Dragon a brief in terms of our budget, in terms of what we could afford for our first investment property, based on those fundamentals of looking for a property that had that capital growth, that was an upcoming, you know, area, where it had, you know, a good ratio between renters and owners in the property. So Dragon went through quite a few different suburbs with us, which was really fantastic to see, and gave us a detailed report and information on all those profiles and the reasoning, you know, behind taking into consideration those particular areas. So that's where it landed us into Southeast Queensland, probably about 25, 30 minutes southeast of Brisbane. I'm sure you could probably draw the dots there. that's the area where we've bought our first property. The experience was, I'd say, honestly, really, really positive. Obviously, coming into our first purchase, we were so anxious. We were so nervous. We're about to spend quite a substantial amount of money. And, you know, so we were really anxious, and we stuck to that principle of looking for that property with that good capital growth, but also with something that had options. So not just, you know, a normal 2 or 3 bedder on a small piece of, you know, land. We went straight for a property. So we looked at a 3 bedder with the potential for a granny flat at the back. So we looked at something above 800 square meters with dual access on both sides. So that was really the profile that we're looking for in the suburb. So we passed up a lot of properties. You know, Dragon pretty much just cold whatever met our criteria, and that was really, really good because we're so emotional. So it really helped us stick to the brief for that particular property. So we did go for a 3-bed, 1-bath, open plan living, dining, and it does have quite a large shed at the back. So it does give us that extra little bit of rental income for having that bonus 2-car shed at the back at the moment. So at the moment, we're still at the back of, we're just about to finish our renovations on the property. We were able to get more value in this particular property and have a good value add, which was fantastic.
The property had been well maintained by the previous owner, who lived there for 30 years, but hadn't done any renovations in that time. While it was dated, it wasn't a deal breaker.
It had all the original kitchen, bathroom, cabinetry, but, you know, Dragon was able to help us see past all that, I think, which is really, really good. So we were able to look at a bit of a budget in terms of redoing the kitchen. So we've stripped out the kitchen pretty much, new cabinets, bench tops, sinks, tapware, new range hoods. So basically really uplifting the kitchen, which was really good. We also did a fresh lick of paint through the whole house, so ceilings and walls, architrave, skirtings, such and such. Also did new flooring throughout, so new laminate timber flooring through the house, new carpets through all the bedrooms, and just resurfacing and respraying up and putting new cabinets in the bathrooms and laundry. So it's pretty much a full gut out.
He's thankful for the comprehensive service, which involves sourcing quotes and coordinating directly with the builder. As a result, the Sydney siders felt a lot of their anxiety dissipate and were able to build a trustworthy team.
We've got a good team of mortgage brokers. They've really, really helped us get our house valued. They've coordinated all that for us, which has been amazing. And we've had a few sessions with them to start evaluating and looking at, you know, what lenders are going to give us the best deal at the end of the day, with interest rates raising through the roof at the moment. so that's been, you know, really stressful for us, but we've put some measures in place to really factor in those rises, which is a really smart thing to do at the moment. So basically, they've helped us shop around and find the best deal that's going to give us the flexibility and the best interest rate. So that team has really helped. Dragon's also, you know, given some suggestions and points in the right direction to engage other areas that we needed to engage. So, you know, in terms of a property manager's giving us some options to consider in the area, because for us, we've got no clue. We're from Sydney. So it's really, really given us a good idea in terms of the opportunities out there, the different types of people that are out there, help us look at the ratings for these different agents and really kind of helped us guide us. And at the end of the day, we've made the decision, but it really, really helped us and opened our eyes up to, hey, there's actually quite a lot to do, you know, from a property manager perspective. So it's helped us open our eyes up to that area as well.
He's equal parts excited and nervous for the renovations to be complete and all that will come after that.
The renovations probably will finish within the next fortnight, and hopefully probably a fortnight after or so, we should have some tenants in there. I've got some nervous energy, to be honest. We're excited. Excited to see all the updates on the renovations of the property. The before and after shots have been, you know, pretty amazing. So the transformation in itself has been really, really good. And, you know, not just for rent value, but for capital value as well. So it's enabled us to have a good value add to the property. So hopefully within the next, say, 2 to 4 weeks, we should have some tenants in there. So it's just that nervous energy.
Mind if I ask you then, how much did you purchase this property for as well?
Yeah, so we purchased it at 500.
And how much do you think there would be an uplift roughly? You know, because we don't know until you get a valuation, but what do you think the uplift would be?
Oh, it's hard to say. Look, the uplift after the renos will be probably upwards of 50,000. I guess the bonus to that is, you know, using Buyers Agency Australia and using Dragon, we're able to get a really good deal. And we got, you know, we got well below the market value as well. And that's something that gave us the edge. So comparative in this particular suburb, we're, you know, selling between 560 to 580. So we got a really good, you know, under market value purchase plus then the value add of the renovation on top of that. So I'm keen to get the valuation when it comes in.
In terms of properties and asset values, he doesn't have a set number in mind as of yet and calls it a work in progress.
It's going to be a tricky one because there'll be a period where we'll still have to sell off some assets to be able to purchase that waterfront property. So, you know, we're probably going to need, you know, anywhere between, you know, 3 to 4 properties and give them some time for that capital growth to come in to be able to sell to afford this waterfront property. But then from there, we'll then have the goal of, you know, that passive income as well. So once the property's purchased and we go back to investing additional properties, we'll probably look, our strategy now is looking at a house and a granny flat kind of a combo, just to have that extra cash flow, the extra income coming through, just to help that protection, that cash flow. So it could be anywhere between, you know, 4 to 5 properties, you know, in that particular category, where it's on 800 plus square meter block with a 3 to 4 better, you know, on the front, whether that's some capital works done or not, and also granny flat at the back. So that's kind of probably where we'll be sitting pretty. If you look at, you know, the market value at the moment, if you look at what potentially the value will be in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of rent for those properties, and we're looking at the, you know, the outright value, you know, of those rent that will be coming in. So if you look at it, probably about 4 to 5 properties paid off with a house and granny flat will probably get us there after we purchase this waterfront property.
Jellidev, with his buyer's agent's assistance, has come to realize that buying undervalued properties and adding his own value on top is the way to go. However, it's not the only key.
Part of Dragon Service as well is finding those key areas. So you're looking at areas with really, really low vacancy rates, you know, really high demand, and that's some of the information that here at Buyers Agency Australia have really, really pushed and really kind of opened our eyes up. So it really has kind of helped us sift through and identify those pockets to invest in, so that there's always going to be, you know, a solid amount of, you know, rental properties that, you know, are scarce, and, you know, that value for that rental property is going to stay there. So we're being really strategic in terms of where we're buying for that reason, so that there's that guarantee. Well, there's never a guarantee, but all the stats are kind of in your favor. There's only two guarantees in life: death and taxes. That's the only guarantee you've got.
When it comes to his next step, Jellidev has all the planning in place and is ready and raring to go again.
We've just got in the process of, with our brokers, we're just getting pre-approval now. So once we get the pre-approval, we'll go again. We'll probably go again using the equity in our primary residence again. And then probably within the next couple of months, we should probably be able to secure our second one before Christmas. That's what we're aiming for. And then hopefully in the new year, we can get our first one revalued and look at what equity gain we've got in there, and potentially, you know, you pull the equity out of that property and go a third again.
From your perspective, have you learned all this through this journey right now, or did you know some of this knowledge beforehand?
Look, really patchy, to be honest. look, a lot of knowledge Dragon has really given us along the journey, and explained the strategies, and explained, you know, from his, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of experience, you know, what he's experienced. We watched a few resources online again, but everyone's telling you different things. So no matter, different resources will tell you different strategies. And I guess it's looking at a strategy that you feel comfortable with, you feel safe with. And that's what we found with Dragon.
As well as watching videos online, he found a classic book that helped to change his mindset significantly.
I think a classic one that a lot of people probably would have heard of is Rich Dad Poor Dad. I listened to the audio book the start of this year, and it just clicked. Just the mentality and the approach, you know, to life, you know, and to property and to assets, that really helped my wife and I really just click into gear and say, right, we're going to make it happen this year, because we're putting it off due to anxiety of the unknown. And that really helped us, you know, shift the way we think about, you know, property. Or any asset class, really. For many years, you listen to, you know, comments or feedback from your internal circles. So whether it's, you know, a family member at a family gathering or a catch up with friends, you'd always hear the negative side or you know, the horror stories, but you don't hear the success, which is sad, because you focus on the 99% of the negative. there's just so much more success out there that people don't really communicate. So, you know, we've had friends that went out on their own. They were going blind. They didn't have any support of a buyer's agent. They didn't use some of the data or metrics that you know, really used to find a fundamental property. And they went out and pretty much picked a picked a spot on the map. Here you go, that'll do. And bought a couple of properties, and it didn't work out very well. So they had, you know, problematic tenants. They had, you know, really high vacancy rates. They just didn't do their research. And, you know, you're listening to people, you know, from those circles tell you their stories when, you know, you find out they didn't actually do too much research themselves. They didn't look into it. They didn't do their due diligence that they should have before they got into the property market.
Due to the experiences of people in his circles, he kept putting property off for 1 year after another. That is, until the year that changed everything for everybody came along.
And then it got to a point where COVID come by and hit, and, you know, we're working from home, and it gave us time to really reflect, you know, on life in terms of what are we actually doing. We're following our same routines. We're just really predictable. We're really bad creatures of habit. You know, drive to work, drive home, drive home to work, go home. And I just felt it was just really, you're stuck in a rat race pretty much. And that was something that COVID, you know, although it was, you know, not a very, very hard period for a lot of people, it actually gave us time to reflect in terms of us as people, reflect on what we want in life. You know, we're isolated for months on end away from people. It really gave us that time to think. So, you know, from that point, we started reading books, and, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, was a book that, you know, I came across and was recommended on YouTube. I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a go. People keep talking about this book. I was like, all right, let's have a read. And, you know, there were so many points in there that really struck home. And, you know, around, you know, the poor dad, you know, being highly, you know, educated versus the rich dad, not having a, you know, an education, but had street smarts, had, you know, a good outlook in terms of assets. That really, really changed, you know, our viewpoint. And reading that book and doing some research of our own and bumping into Dragon, you know, at the expo, really kind of clicked us into gear and said, right, we're going to do it. And, you know, with the property market as it was rolling at that point, we're like, this is the best time. We're tossing up whether to sell our property and upgrade the family home. But we chose not to and to pull the equity out of the house to invest in other places. And that was a suitable, you know, strategy for us at the time.
And you never know, you might even hold on to this current property, use it as investment, and then buy your dream home again.
That's another option. And, you know, rent vesting, for example, is definitely an option we're looking at the moment. And, you know, I dragged Kat from the Shire. So we've got to get back on the water soon. And look, I share that dream. I love being on the water and having that water view. There's just something about it when you come home from work, you've had a really crappy day, and you walk out the back and it just all melts away. So, you know, we love that connection to the seaside. So we've got that goal. So look, we are actively looking at the moment to look at a good rental property that's worth moving as a rent vest property for the next couple of years to at least start enjoying that lifestyle whilst, you know, this primary home turns into an investment for us. One of our strategies for this home is to also look at, you know, dropping a granny flat in the back as well, and just really kind of inject a bit more cash flow from this particular rental property. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We're getting quotes for granny flats. I'll tell you what, oh, it's COVID pricing on everything at the moment. It's just the inflation of prices of a granny flat. I nearly fell off my chair. It's big money. So we're kind of tossing up whether we hold off for a bit, give it 6 months and see what, you know, the building industry does, whether, you know, inflation comes down, whether pricing comes down. I don't know what will happen, but we're actively looking for a property on the water here in Gosford. So pretty much whenever a good property comes in, you know, that's comfortable, we'll probably look at that and, you know, move out and go into here and use this as an investment property so we can leverage off this a bit more.
If you could actually go back, say, met yourself 10 years ago, what do you think you would have said to him?
Oh, wow. That's a really tough question. Get into property quicker. I'll definitely look at that slap myself and just stop myself buying that stupid, you know, something, I wouldn't waste my money on the little things. I would have, if I would have just bought one or two properties 10 years ago, the position that you'd potentially be in today would be, you know, remarkably different to what we are now. So if I had the foresight then, in terms of what we know now and the team that I've got around us with Dragon from Buyers Agency Australia, if we had that 10 years ago, we could have done some real serious damage. We'll do damage now, don't worry about that. But imagine if we had that 10 years ago. Yeah, it'd be a completely different scenario.
With his long-term goals set in stone, he can envision them clearly and keeps his eye on them at all times.
I'm really looking forward to having that financial freedom. You know, that's what we're really gearing up for. And look, and it means different things to different people. You know, for someone, it might be completely getting out of the rat race, you know, quitting work and, you know, living off your investment property income. That's fine for some people. For me, I think I'd still get bored. I'd still want to keep busy. So, you know, I'd still love working in the disability space. There's so much meaning behind that, and there's so much reward. I'd probably look into more voluntary roles to provide support and expertise in different areas. I'd still want to be working. Like that, for me, that's what I'd love to do. So I'd love to be in a position where I didn't have to worry about that bill coming through. I didn't have to worry about, you know, when am I going to pay the next rates or when am I going to pay the next water bill? I want to have that freedom to continue working in an area that I love working in without having to worry about those, you know, bills coming through. I want to be able to, hey, let's go on a holiday. I want to have that flexibility and freedom to pick up and say, right, you know, where should we go this year? Where should we go this time? And not have to worry about, oh, what is it we can afford? It's actually having a life, you know, working to live and flipping that around, you know. So it's really about individuals' quality of life. What do they want out of life? And for me, I think I'd get bored if I completely retired early. I'd still want to be working, but at least it gives me options. I've got the option to do that, whereas unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that ability to do that and make that decision.
How much of your success currently is due to skill, intelligence, and hard work? And how much do you think has it been because of luck?
In terms of skill and intelligence, look, from a skill perspective, I really didn't have too much of an insight into property investing probably, say, 6-12 months ago. And look, that's been a big journey with Dragon and Buyers Agency Australia. He actually spent a lot of time with us, quite a few sessions, you know, getting us up to speed in terms of what that journey would look like. So he did a lot of fundamental work with us, you know, prior to putting down any deposit. And that was the awesome thing, you know, with Dragon. He spent a lot of time before we committed, you know. And so it was really a learning journey. So a lot of what we know now has come directly from Dragon. So for us, that's been a massive godsend and a massive kind of reassurer for us. Luck, I'll tell you in 5 years. No, but look, honestly, there's no luck. Look, there's a lot of strategy in where we're purchasing. You know, we've got, you know, the Brisbane Olympic Games coming up. There's so much infrastructure happening in the areas that we're buying. So there's, you know, a lot of strategy behind, you know, the recommendations from Dragon. And, you know, we're listening to them. Again, we'll tell you in 5 years.
He's happy to recommend Dragon Domoski from Buyers Agency Australia to anybody and everybody who asks. Thanks to the positive support he offers, his personal experiences have been nothing short of fantastic.
I think it comes down to personal touch. And, you know, Dragon was someone that would take the time to sit with you both and really understand your goals, really understand what is it that you want to achieve. And, you know, he was really realistic. You know, is it realistic or not? And that was something we really appreciated. We really appreciate the honesty. You know, we went through a saga of, you know, sales driven, either buyers agencies and investment, you know, groups that, you know, promised the world. But when you asked the hard questions, that, you know, there was smoke and mirrors. So we didn't feel that we had a genuine kind of a feel with those particular providers. Whereas with Dragon, what you can expect is, you know, from what we experience, really, really transparent, you know, advice, really, really transparent feedback. He would take the time, you know, we probably met at least half a dozen, eight times, you know, and they were probably 1 to 2 hour blocks at least, just to help us through the journey and help him understand, you know, the profile of what we're looking for and what our strategy is. So from a strategy component, there was a lot of work done. And so that was something that Dragon committed to us. When it came to, you know, identifying and, you know, shortlisting, you know, locations, areas, streets, properties, you know, he really held our hand really the whole way through, which was really amazing. So that was something that we couldn't do ourselves, particularly being, you know, interstate. So, you know, that transparency and that genuineness was something that really, really attracted us, you know, to Drag. And like I said, we walked through the expo, mate. There was just so much going on. It was so salesy. There were so many things going on. We had a lot of conversations with people, but Dragon, you know, really had that connectedness that we were looking for. And, you know, he got our position. He understood, you know, where we're coming from and didn't try and shove something down our throat. So he didn't try to sell product down our throat. He felt like he was really interested in terms of, you know, what our goals are, wanted to hear what we wanted to achieve and how he could help us, you know, get there. So that's something we really did appreciate with Dragon.
He's dedicated to dedication in that he found the right person and is planned to stick with him. By laying this foundation together, Jellydiv has formed a tight team thanks to Demoski.
There may be some critics out there in terms of, is a buyer's agency, you know, worth it or not? I absolutely can say it is. It is absolutely worth it. You know, we would have no idea in terms of, you know, the metrics in terms of how to locate, you know, a good investment property. So he took us on that journey and helped us understand. We've learned so much in the last 6 months. So I can definitely say it's well worth your money. You know, going with Dragon, with Buyers Agency Australia, you know, we've got a property, you know, really significantly under market value in a good growing area with good capital growth and good rental yield, you know. So, you know, that one off fee, you know, for that particular property has paid itself off 5 times already. We're both busy in our full-time roles. So, you know, we've got quite a few things on. We're really busy. We're in meetings all the time. We don't have the time to go and search. We don't have the time to conduct research, you know, to talk to agents, to make things happen. Whereas Dragon's in the background, we're on the search. I'll get phone calls. I'll get updates. I'll get constant emails. So I'm always kept in the loop and all that. So he's doing all the hard yards. He's running, you know, working weekends. You know, I'm even getting calls at 10, 11 at night. Don't expect it all the time, but that's the commitment that we got from Dragon. You know, every time he found something, you know, worth really looking at, straight on the phone, hey, we've got this going, going through all the details, going through all the stats, using that data, using that metrics to locate that property. And that was something we really appreciated.
Thank you to Alex Jellydiv, our guest on this episode of Property Investory.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.